Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Islanders country, hello. This is the Eyes on Isles podcast, powered by the Fansided Sports Network. I am your host, Joe Bono. Follow me on Twitter at IslesFix and subscribe to our Monday through Friday newsletter. And back for more is our permanent, full-time, recurring guest, the most positive Islander fan I know, Mr. Andy Francis. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. I must say, I hope you enjoy this one episode because I get sick about once every 10 years. You're literally looking at a guy who gets sick once a decade, and I'm feeling a little bit under the weather this week, so you may get a relatively timid version of me. Mm-hmm. So I'm just telling you, you better enjoy it while it lasts. And even with that said, I'll still have a couple of things to say. Very interesting how I guess theoretically we got called out for what a negative sort of tone about,
like, you're a negative Nancy.
How are those people feeling this last week? You think maybe they kind of joined the party after watching the last week?
Well, listen, I got a lot of feedback on the new tandem here. They liked us together. They thought it was funny. That it was different, but people did feel that you were a bit too negative for, you know, and this is, we recorded right after a win, which we're going to do, which we're doing here again tonight. We recorded after the Ottawa win, and you were so down, but you had foresight based upon how the next couple of games were going
to
look.
My rebuttal is that you have to read between the lines. You have to. It was clear as day the troubles that were about to show themselves to the Islanders. They were right there. This is sloppy play. I mean, okay, so just tell me, because if you want, I can make this a CBS Andy, morning show where we just lie to each other.
Which one? The one with the trumpets on Sunday? That's a good show. Jane Pauley, I watched that. That makes me feel good about the world most times.
Look, there's a legendary clip of Bill Burr when he was brought into a morning show, and they said to him, don't you think you are going a little too far with the jokes about the Catholic Church? And he goes, well, don't you think some of the people there went a little too far with what they did too? And then, you know, it's like, all right, I'm never being invited back to a morning show. So if you want me to just say what they want to hear, then fine.
Listen, I was preparing. It's obviously a 2-1 game, 5 minutes to go, Islanders and the Maple Leafs. And I'm ready for you to just be, you know, teeing you off to go hard on this team. And I don't know, can you still do that after they pull out a 3-2 win with Josh Bailey and Anthony Beauvillier, the heroes? tonight in Toronto. I mean, once again, they snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. Not the three-goal comeback, not the two-goal comeback, the one-goal comeback in the game late. Wahlstrom's throwing punches, getting everyone jazzed up. Clutterbuck's breaking hits records. Toronto makes a mistake. Bailey scores. And then Mr. Bovertime himself finally scores another goal and does something. And I mean, is it okay to feel a little bit good? Salvage the road trip, 4 points. You're going home now Wednesday against Edmonton.
Of course.
You know, the Thanksgiving Day, you know, line in the sand. Where are the standings? Are you in playoff position? Now probably they are.
I think people make the mistake of when they listen to people who are critical, they sometimes assume that that person like is almost rooting for that. You think I'm like the person who can't tell my brother, I can't lie to him and say, well, you had a great game. If he let in a couple, my brother's a goalie. If he let in a couple of soft goals, you're not doing anything for anybody. I'm going to tell you something. This has nothing to do with hockey at all, and I'm sure everyone's going to appreciate this. When I was in 10th grade, sorry, I do like a comedy, weekly comedy podcast, and I'm not trying to really bring anything from there. But when I was in 10th grade, this girl at a block party asked me to walk around the block with her. I had no experience doing anything whatsoever. I go to kiss her, and she goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, what? She's like, relax with the tongue. Never in my life again, ever to this day, did I ever shove my tongue even anywhere that resembles too far into a girl's mouth. But if she never said anything to me, she go, no, you're fine. I would have been like freaking venom down everyone's throat. You have to hear the truth or you're never going to be able to figure out what the hell the issue is.
See, I was worried that you were going to say that you were never going back to another block party, and that would have been a real shame. But no. Okay, that wasn't the lesson that was learned.
I mean, I haven't been to one in a good decade or so, but
I mean, I live in the suburbs now in Connecticut, and I mean, people don't know what a block is. I mean, block party. I mean,
yeah,
any street, private driveway.
So not while people are cursing about me getting off. So then I will start with the exact positives that I'm happy to talk about. The season is a beyond marathon, so there are stretches where you can really look bad and it's all forgotten once you get to the critical part of the season. And then once you get into the playoffs, nobody will remember games 20 to 25 if you lollygagged it and came out with 2 points. At the end, they're just going to highlight your record and they're never going to really look at that stuff. So that is a good thing. So being able to accumulate points when you're playing bad hockey, that is good. That is without a shadow of a doubt good. But then I almost want to ask the people, because everybody is just so results oriented, what are they seeing? Like the people who would call me critical of the Islanders play, why would they tell me not to be critical? What are the reasons that I should be like, oh no, everything's cool here?
No, I hear you. Listen, I put in the newsletter on Monday morning. I called it starry-eyed, right? Just having a better fabrication of as to how good of a situation you are as opposed to what's the practical reality with the Islanders. And the fact that they won 9 of 11 games covered up, and obviously the elite goaltending, they covered up a lot of the underlying issues, or at least people didn't want to spend a lot of time on it. But, you know, you look at some of the advanced statistics around this team. I mean, 5-on-5 expected goals against, they're at the bottom of the league. They're next to last. Yep. I think only Anaheim is worse. And what saves them? It's their goaltending. I mean, correct. Even tonight, they're going to win. They won 3-2 in overtime. Certainly, Beauvillier and Bailey scoring those goals, and Clutterbuck will be the headlines. Sorokin bailed them out again. If Marner scores that goal in the third period, 3-1, and then they're locking it down, and that never happens.
You're talking about on the power play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when we had a 1-0 lead, how did they lose that lead? Oh, that's right. On the
Six seconds in against Nashville. Can they go 30 seconds without giving up one? A couple times in the recent games.
You know what? Everyone loved to bring up the penalty kill at the beginning of the season.
Record breaking.
Why don't you give me their ranking in the league as soon as they let in that first one against Colorado forward? Where do they rank, do you think?
I mean, it's a goal a game pretty much.
Yeah, it's guaranteed. Why? Because now the offense is on other teams. They started to develop their chemistry. They got their rhythm going. They've figured out the personnel that works on each power play unit. And then you're getting exposed for being like the It's actually very, it's a microcosm of the actual team. What number was tonight on the season? Roughly, was it like game 21? No. Was it game 19? I think it's roughly it's about game 19. Game 20. Right around there.
Game 20. They're 12-8 now.
Okay, so you're about a quarter way into the season. Okay, tell me, what's the Islanders' style? What kind of game do the Islanders bring?
And yeah, you asked the question last week too. I couldn't give you a good answer of that.
And it's
that
the
time
same
either.
Thing with the power play. Like, are they aggressive? Are they passive? Are they right now? It just looks like they're nothing. They just sit there and allow the other team all the space that they need. In so many facets of the game, they're just showing no aggression. And I've said this to many people with the Isles. I think their strength, when everybody's healthy, everybody's okay, they have three lines who can score. People are complaining lately, specifically about Beauvillier and then Bailey, and then bringing up Johnston and saying, oh, that cripples that line. I'm going to tell people the same thing that I tell everyone. Okay, well, yeah, tell me about how the third line of Columbus is doing. Tell me about the third line on Dallas. Most teams can't rely on a third line at all. It's an absolute luxury that the Islanders have the third line that they do. So those issues aren't as big of a deal as I think other people are making them out to be. People are acting like you're supposed to have 12 forwards on a roster, all of which you can score. There's not a roster in the league like that. That is actually the strength of the Islanders. But the downside is, because they don't have like a star-laden first line, when things go bad, they look really bad, because you don't have, I think I said this, Leslie, but you don't have that line you can go to get out of a funk. You really just hope Barzal can lift whoever he's playing with to something.
And, and Lane Lambert, shuffled up the lines before tonight's game. He had Barzal with Anders Lee and, Oliver Wahlstrom. And then, you put Beauvillier and Bailey, two guys that were really struggling. You put them with Nelson on the second line. And I'm not sure if I could say that it worked. I mean, the Bailey play is, him taking advantage of a miscue behind the net. Had showed some patience, made a really nice play. And then it's 3-on-3. So, five on five, did they really generate a ton of chances and a ton of opportunities? I mean, I think I noticed Beauvillier more so this game than I had in some prior ones, even before the goal. But they'll probably stick with those lines again, after a win. But, it's not solved. I think the thing that worries me so much is just the defense. I mean, we spent 3 years of this team being an elite defensive structure team and getting the elite goaltending. And the idea was, you might give up a lot of shots, but you're not giving up a lot of high quality shots. And that's not the case right now. They're giving up a lot of high danger shots all the time. And the defense pair today, it led to a goal. Right, Aho and Dobson, it resulted in a goal, but that's two offensive defensemen that really are probably your two least defensemen you could trust in your defensive zone.
That's even
there were some opportunities with them on the ice that Toronto had, and Sorokin played well, or things didn't materialize the way they could have, but that's a little bit iffy. I guess maybe he just, I think Butch Goring said on the broadcast, it just, all his offensive eggs in the one basket with those two on defense, and maybe try to stabilize the other two defensively. Maybe that was the thinking.
I disagree with that thinking, especially on the road. You don't get to dictate when they're on the ice. You're going to throw those two out there. They're going to throw their top line out there. Then that top line had them pinned in their zone for 2+ minutes. If you're going to do something like that, you at least do it where they're not going to get it exposed, and you can put them out on the ice when another team has a line that isn't going to expose your vulnerability on the back end. I always thought that the idea of Romanov and Mayfield would be interesting to see come like playoff time, when, the game gets a lot more physical and there's less time and space, and two guys like that can, run amok and get away with more than they could during the year. But you can't be having Dobson and Aho out there. That's a disaster waiting to happen on the back end. Like, they are they are not equipped to handle assignments in their defensive zone. I mean, they make so many mental mistakes as it is to begin with. So to put them two together, that was crazy, which is why they immediately had to kind of get away from it, and they came back to it a little bit and then got away from it again. I think they understood. But one of the things that I was thinking about, I remember the first year when Trotz was the head coach and the Islanders got off to a really good start, and I forget who on the Penguins was interviewed after a 2-1, I think the Islanders won 2-1 maybe it was even more. It was early in the year, and they said this is a different team to play against. These are the same players, but they are a difficult team to play against. My concern is they're just not a difficult team to play against. They just say, okay, let's go back and forth and see who wins out. Well, that's not a recipe with the Islanders personnel for long-term success. You know,
I hear you. And listen, I'm not in the rooms here dissecting the film after games closely to know exactly what Lane Lambert wants, this new system of his or hybrid system or a little bit give and take with what they used to do and what it's supposed to be like. But right now, yeah, they've lost that edge in terms of just being this really difficult team to play against. I completely agree with you. So I think what you said, you know, at the start was my take kind of going into this one way or the other, whether they won or lost. Here Monday night against Toronto was that winning 9 of 11 afforded them time to try to figure this out and start to play more sound hockey night in and night out, because they're doing it. I mean, it's all great traits, the fact that they've been able to come back and win all these games. And, you know, they're not even, you know, they stole 1 point and then they stole 2 points. They've gone to overtime. Each time they've gone to overtime, they come out with a win so far this season, right? So they're scratching and clawing the points every time they have an opportunity to do so.
You can say what it is. It's luck. Like, it's a 3-on-3 situation.
Yeah, tonight, I mean, the 3-on-3 situation, yeah, it could go one way or the other.
No matter any team.
But it's a trend that they've been able to come back in third periods.
Oh, yeah? How was their trend last year in overtime? They lost almost every single one they were in.
I'm saying third periods, though, this year, it's hard to say that's luck considering how they've outscored the opponents, you know, the Dallas game on Saturday night, notwithstanding.
No, I'm talking about overtime. Getting it to overtime and then pulling out a win, like, that's 50-50. Either you're getting 1 point or two. To come out on the right side of every single one, that's good fortune.
Yeah,
they're not some great overtime team, as you could see last year.
And they were a horrendous shootout team, exactly. So they haven't had to even get into the shootouts yet so far.
Hence, that's my exact point about luck. They haven't had to get to the point where they couldn't win a single game last year. So, yeah, they have good fortune to pull. Because remember, if that's how many overtime wins we got now? 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if those are overtime losses, are we even over 500? And that's the difference, you know?
Maybe 8-8-3.
There you go. How would everyone be feeling tonight? The good news is, you know, my thought is that they understand, like, okay, things aren't going our way out there. I mean, this is a team, most of the members of this team, they went to the Stanley Cup final. I'm sorry, they went to the Eastern Conference final. They were one game from the Stanley Cup final. So they know what it takes to win. They know what it was like getting dominated in some of those series versus playing well and carrying some. They clearly know winning versus losing. Most of them were there pre-trots, then during trots, and now. So the same way you saw with the St. Louis Blues, who just lost 8 games in a row, and now I think they're, as long as they held on, they were up 2-1 in the third, are currently on a 7-game winning streak. An experienced team should know what has to be done to turn things around. And the more that they get in these run-and-gun games and see, oh, we're never on the right side of these things, ever. Either we take a lead and blow it, or we're down 4-1 or something like that. My thought is that they're going to realize that they're going to have to get back to playing responsible hockey. It just seems like, I don't know, I think they're enjoying their kid in a candy store first quarter of a year where they're allowed to do whatever the hell they want out there.
You know? All right, we're gonna take a quick break. On the other side, we're gonna talk about some other games that happened during the course of this week, and obviously I want to talk turkey with you. I want to understand kind of what's the Thanksgiving day for you coming up on Thursday and the weekend and your old thoughts on that. So Joe Bono, Andy Francis, the Eyes on Isles podcast. We'll be back right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We're back. Eyes on Isles podcast, powered by the Fansided Sports Network. Joe Bono and Andy Francis with you. And now listen, before this game in Toronto, why it felt so big is that after the win in Ottawa, you know, they were looking at losing 3 games in a row. And, you know, if you were worried after the 2-4 start and the winning 9 of 11 made you feel okay, you know, you start losing 3 in a row and now looking at Edmonton on Wednesday night, you can, you know, like we talked about at the first half of the show, next thing you know, they're going to show that playoff picture come on Thanksgiving Day and the Islanders wouldn't be part of it. So let's look at these, just go back quickly at these 2 games against Nashville and Dallas. The Nashville game was infuriating. I mean, because...
How so?
Because the way they turned it on. Like, that is so annoying. Like, how can you night in and night out emphasize the message with a veteran team if you're Lane Lambert, which I would assume he's doing, and it still happened? Like, I'd rather you almost have not your night. They never win in Nashville. You know, it's a great trip. Everyone should make that trip to Nashville. Just be prepared that the Islanders are going to lose. You know, make sure when you actually go to the hockey game that day. But, you know, be there for 3 days. You'll have an amazing time. You know, so if they would have just lost that game 4-1, 5-2, whatever, fine. You know, you move on and take a loss. You had a bad day at the office. But to have that comeback and then have 2 big mistakes that end up in your net, and then, you know, 1 penalty towards the end with Barzal pretty much giving you only 50 seconds to come back. I started that game being annoyed in one way, and I got completely different annoyed based upon the way it ended.
You know, it's just, it's tough for me because it's not like you're starting the game at 0-0 when they're mounting those comebacks. Other teams who are up 3 goals, it's the NHL version of a prevent defense. Like, you're getting a team in a passive mindset and you're trying to furiously come back. But if that was a tie game, which is why as soon as it went close again, Predators score. Like, they need to show that they can take over a game when it's even. The only game that stands out to me this year where I go, okay, there's reason to be excited, is when they went to Carolina. And every line seemed to contribute. Every line had good juice. And it was mostly for 60 minutes. I can't think of other games where they had that same level of quality play throughout. And if there's something that's infuriating, is that I had to watch that game. So I had to watch the team that I thought there was a good chance I'd be seeing this year. And then I have to wonder when they're randomly going to show up. You know, and I'm not talking about, because I don't
any team can give you one hard-fought period of hockey. So when they have these random third periods, I'm not that shocked. It's, okay, yeah, congratulations. You're now desperately trying to catch up in a game that your lackadaisical play dug you into this hole. So you have two options. Either be awful the entire game or at least try to spit out 20 minutes of energetic hockey. But I need to see them control games. They don't control the game ever, you know? It's frustrating. It's frustrating. You want to see them carry the play. You know, like the first period against the Rangers, the second game, that was great. That was good to me. I mean, they ended up giving up a power play goal. But the first 10 minutes of that game, that's what you want to see going into a building. But conversely, like the first game versus the Rangers, you know, you end up winning that game 3-0. It's a game we got like dominated in every facet. But people just go, oh, we shut out the Rangers. You just have to look deeper than that.
Yeah. It just things like the start, though, are just really bewildering for me, because you know they're emphasizing it, and you know everyone's saying the right things in the post game, from the captain to the coach, and yet it's just not changing. So it just, you know, it's just very odd that to have that kind of circumstances with a team that you would think obviously know what the problem is, but maybe just human nature just sinks in and still, I don't know, you somehow get away with it, luck, whatever you want to call it, and you're picking up points, and for some reason you don't have to do it. But
do you remember when the Isles were down, or I'm assuming you remember game 7 against Tampa Bay, right?
The most recent one? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember how period 1, the Islanders came out with absolutely nothing? They came out with zero. But do you want to know what kept them in the game? The structure. The structure allows them to, because they took zero penalties the whole time, which allowed, you know, Tampa's devastating power play to stay off the ice. And at least, even though they had no juice, they remained disciplined and tried to at least keep the chances to outside chances, so that when they find their legs, there's a chance. What you're seeing is the no structure plus the no legs. And that's going to result in 4 immediate goals against. And I believe that's what you're looking at, but I'm still confident that there's time to mold it along the way. The New York Rangers couldn't have looked more abysmal in games 1 through 3 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then look how that narrative changes a couple rounds later, you know,
because yeah, you know, again, they got time to figure it out. Yeah. And if you're in playoff position, you're second and third in your division, clearly not having figured out with some really bad underlying stats. Maybe that's a positive with 60 some odd games to go. The Dallas game, I'll be honest, I did not watch it. I was at the Prudential Center Saturday night.
Well,
Full Gear.
This was a case of the Islanders that you want to see. Well, you're playing tight checking hockey, and then you go up a goal, and then immediately give it back. You score another one, and it's the other part of the loosey-goose hockey that I hate. So even when you take a lead, it can be immediately eradicated.
Even when you do the things you say, you're emphasizing.
Mm-hmm. That's why I hate it, because either it's like, oh, you're down right away because you're playing sloppy, or, oh, we got a lead, but the way we play allows the other team to score right away. It's infuriating. And then, you know, they lost that one, and that's a case where they played a very good defensive team. So we had a lead, gave it up right away. They had a lead, never gave it up. And that's what is going to come in the second third, or not the second, but especially the final third of a season and going into playoffs. The magic comebacks are over, because points are truly at a premium. Teams start to know, like, we can't afford to give up any more points. Teams who are trying to claw their way back in. So they'll be playing the trap halfway through a game, that, and everything's going to be harder to come by. So, like, it's good that they're getting these in during the part of the season where comebacks are most available early in the year, but they really need to find out how they're going to sustain success when, you know, that kind of runs dry.
So you were home Saturday night watching that game?
I was watching that because, like I said, I haven't been feeling great.
Okay, you were sick, right? Okay, yeah. Nothing else going on. I couldn't even follow the game. I don't know what's going on. The Prudential Center, like, you know, you go to these other new buildings, they'll have the, you know, the free Wi-Fi, and everything was locked. I had a friend occasionally be able to get a signal. I saw it was 2-2 going into the third, and I told him, hey, Islanders own third periods, and then we refreshed it 45 minutes later.
You know, if there's a catastrophe, we're all finished. If you're ever in a place like the Prudential Center and you need service, the one time you would need it the most, there's zero service available. If you have more than 1,000 people in like a, you know, a small confined area, nobody's phone works. So could you imagine there was ever a catastrophe? That's it. Oh. Nobody's phone works. You're all screwed.
Yeah.
Hope you watch Man vs. Wild.
I do not. My wife's big into those survivor type stories. I think we're just gonna, you know, we'll be out of luck if anything bad happens with me. And it was obviously a professional wrestling event. I was in the NHL suite. A friend of mine works there and got the suite. And
what
normally
event was going on?
Normally trying to AEW had their pay per view, and driving an hour and a half to Newark from Connecticut. But, you know, free ticket, the suite, why not? I figured I'd have high Wi-Fi, be able to stream the Islander game, check in on things, and that didn't happen. But I got home quick. And I zipped home.
I'm seeing – you want to know what's frustrating to see? The takes of people like, we got to trade for so-and-so chip. But there's not going to be a damn trade in this league. There might be one trade by one team before, but there's no trades that are going to be made till death. Stop with – you're just wasting time. Go think of something else. Go buy a Rubik's Cube. No trades are going to be made. So get that out. You have to deal with what we got.
I don't even know like where the trade happens with the way the lineup is constructed here. Who's trading off?
Everybody's clamoring for like a forward to replace Villiers or Bailey. And trust me, like I'm no Josh Bailey fan, but I just also I'm like, okay, look, this is what we have. You're wasting time thinking that some random trade is going to be made. There's no Bo Horvat coming. Stop your Bo Horvat articles. He's not coming here. They're not going to be acquiring him. Maybe at the deadline. That's the only time we've ever got people, and that's what would happen.
Why, that's why we have first round picks, right? To trade him at the deadline.
Well, look, if you like Romanov, it's got to go both ways. Okay, trade a first-round pick, and then don't get angry when Michael Dalcole and Wall.
I'm okay with Romanov. I'm okay with it. I'm still okay with it. I mean, we've seen it happens all the time.
A lot.
I mean, even if you look at, you know, even the ones that have made the NHL with the Islanders and Bellows, who's now maybe a fourth liner on a decimated Flyers team, and you know, after the Soshnikov move to waivers, everyone was expecting, oh, is this going to be the door open for Simon Holmstrom? And it was like, nope. We just want him to be able to play hockey in Bridgeport.
Can I tell you something that I've been trying to preach for years, and it's just like people are refusing to say, oh, that's a good idea, and they'll never have a reason why. So when the Islanders were in the quote-unquote, and I'll never believe this because it's a fake narrative, cap crunch to keep Devon Taves, how come we're people will willingly give up a first-round pick at the trade deadline for a mediocre rental, but you will not give up a first-round pick to re-sign a player who's going to be crucial to your roster for the foreseeable future? And nobody can give me an answer on why it's okay to trade a first-round pick for Kyle Palmieri, at the time not even knowing that he's going to re-sign, or even if it was Taylor Hall for a playoff run, but it's not okay to give a team a first-round pick so that they will take someone like Andrew Ladd over or Leo, anybody just to free up. All they needed was like $4 million to free up $4 million. No, and people go, oh, that's stupid. Okay, cool. No one will ever give me a straight answer on why that's not done. We should be seeing that all the time from teams who are in a cap crunch and who have a really, really good player who they want
and
to
a
be
good,
on
and,
their team.
And they have a championship window that they're in right there. Like, it's hard to like fall short of championships and then kind of contract and subtract a little bit from your roster and still think you're going to be able to get further along.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Especially if this rental is gone. You know, first round pick for 3 months of play is crazy to me.
When's Taze a free agent? Got 2 years?
Nah, I'm just talking about in general. even if it wasn't that, you know,
how
there's
can they
other,
make it up to you?
You know, there's other teams like, If Minnesota could have just done that with what's his name who they let go to the Kings,
Kevin Fiala.
Exactly. You know, why couldn't they think of a deal to keep somebody who would have been a crucial forward that they clearly could use right now? Anyway, that's just a philosophical non-Islanders thing. So we can
I feel like Devontae's may come up at your Thanksgiving, Damiel. Do you have any family that you can talk hockey with? They're like you said, your brother obviously is a goaltender. Oh, so it sounds like you guys can talk sports, right? You hang out and you guys can.
My family, we're very big Islander fans. We talk about it all the time. I mean, my brother, we were just watching the game before. We're mostly on
nothing. I got nobody. I got nobody around the table that wants to talk Islander hockey with me.
Well, that's why you're doing this. That's why you're doing this podcast.
I
know.
I just needed someone to talk to. Basically, my father-in-law wants to talk about St. John's basketball. You know, out of conference schedule.
God,
the guy's got season tickets. Drives all the way from Westchester to Queens to watch these games.
Oh my God!
And then once or twice a year, I get the phone call. Hey, big game. St. John's is playing. You know, X at the Garden. Do you want to be there? Meet me at noon. And
does he have a framed poster of Chris Mullin? Or like
Chris Mullin went to my high school. You got to be careful when you talk about Chris Mullin. It's in high school.
I got no problems with Chris Mullin. I'm not guy though. So
yeah, that's when he got into it. And he didn't go to St. John's. Neither did any one of his children. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to really talk too much anything around Thanksgiving. But what is your plans? What do you have happening on Thursday?
Just my immediate family and a few others gonna come over. I have the classic if you're from an Italian family, it's like Italian American Thanksgiving where it's like, we have turkey and we have this stuffing, but yeah, here's some tortellini.
Here's an antipasto.
Random tray of chicken parm will come out.
Yeah.
Like just it's full American Thanksgiving plus like classic Italian.
Here's some eggplant rollatini. We have
one thing that's always been there for us, and I don't really see it in other families, but it's with mine, it's synonymous with Thanksgiving, potato croquettes, where it's these crusted, like mashed potatoes with the cheese in the middle. So we got that, the turkey stuffing, and then we're kind of big dessert people too. So we got a bunch
dessert
of
people. Yeah. Which is your, which pie is the preference? I like pecan pie around this time of year.
I don't like any sort of fruity pies. That's the only pecan pies.
Yeah. Not for me.
All that stuff. I've always been more of like a chocolate guy and like cakes and cupcakes and stuff like that. But for pies, I can do some pecan pie.
I could do some damage. You got to pace yourself. Obviously it's interesting with the Italian thing, cause it was always just normal to me that was, Thanksgiving was like you said, the appetizer was like a tray of lasagna or something, right? Before turkey. And then, my wife's side of the family, they're Lebanese. So when I go over there, they have like this like Lebanese take on things. Like I'm having grape leaves and, hummus. And then I go on to the turkey and I'm like, this is so weird and strange that you guys have this.
I get to say this, and it's not because of bias or anything like that. I've lived in Boston. I lived in LA. I've been around. Those Italian dishes are known everywhere. If I cook those, people are going to come over and be like, the Italian food, it's as synonymous with people as an American, like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, chicken parm is an American dish.
Not Lemke. Like I have the Lemke in the, I put on a good face, but actually I've gotten this weird routine now. I have two Thanksgivings. Thursday, it's on one side, and then Saturday, I got to go up to outside Albany. And we do Thanksgiving again just on the Saturday, just so that all sides of the family can see each other. I mean, it's nice. It's a lot of driving. It's a lot of eating, obviously. Well, and I got two kids in the back.
What's up with this Friendsgiving scam? I have a ton of friends, and I never did a Friendsgiving thing my whole life. And everyone's going, "Well, you don't do Friendsgiving. You don't do."
Is that supposed to be on the Thursday or Wednesday?
I think it's vague. I think it's any sort of time friends are available before Thanksgiving. You get together and you make some food and you chill out, and it's called Friendsgiving. I got a lot of close friends, and we never.
In a past life, I was the amateur hour of Thanksgiving Eve, biggest party night out of the year, and I
yeah.
I'd go out to the city and go out to Chelsea area or Meatpacking District, and we get a table. And how many guys do you have? I got four guys, and we have two girls. All right, that'll be $300 to get inside.
Of course, they all got button downs and LA looks, hold lasers. Five hair gel in their hair. Yep.
And then we'd spend lots of money on Grey Goose bottles and mixers and all that all night. And then I take a cab back to Marine Park with my parents, go back to my parents' house.
I want pictures, man. I want to see this.
I mean, that's 23, 24, 20. That's a long time ago.
I don't care. I want to
sleep early. I'll be watching Islanders Oilers on Wednesday night and writing a newsletter. That's the new Thanksgiving Eve.
So what do you? I want you to speak on behalf. You know your listeners more than me, and I also give your listeners full permission to despise me to no end. It's absolutely
fine. I think I almost
feel most comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I feel comfortable with that too.
Yeah, speak on behalf of. So, if they were to tell me, what should I be seeing? What have they seen, and what should I be seeing? What is the overall consensus from them about the team? Like, are they expecting, or do they say, well, you know, it's Carolina?
Listen, I think if you're completely just looking at wins and losses and nothing else, you're not you're whistling through the graveyard a little bit. You know, I think people think that there are positives on the team that maybe we should be talking about more so than others.
Such as? Because I want to.
Well, we've talked about the goaltender, obviously. I think the fact that... Nelson has been very solid. Yep. Andrews Lee continues to score goals. I mean, Barzell's season is very interesting in terms of what we talked about. You wrote, right? You said it, right? He's a goal producer, and that's more important than being a goal scorer. And he's on a point per game average, if not, had another assist here today. So I think they're talking about those positives. I think they think they're going to figure this other stuff out, and that it's not, you know, something that they need to be overly concerned about. That they have faith in this group that, when push comes to shove, they're gonna tighten things up.
Yeah,
but you want to see it first.
Yeah, I want to reiterate. I said that I believe before this year, I believe they're gonna have a top 10 offense in the league. Now remember, from everything that everyone clamoring for all these players and Kadri and this, that, and the other, I said this team, I had faith in them to be a top 10 offense, assuming they were not in the Trot system. It would probably come at the expense of the defense, which it has. But I said the way Sorokin's been trending the last two seasons, we're going to have to rely on him through the first part of the year until we find our identity. And there's actually a video of me saying that, so I'm not just making this up. You can look at it. And that's apparently exactly what's happening. Now, they just have to come through on that second half of until they find their identity. So please, because we're, I believe a long part of the season is just blah. But once you start to get to like game 40, I would say, we better know who you are. So you got about 20 games left till, because you can't get to the halfway point where it's like, no, we're figuring it out. You kind of got to know at that point what kind of team you are.
Yeah.
And that's
before we get going, what if we were doing the Devils podcast right now? You'd be through the moon. You'd be so excited, right? You wouldn't be pointing any negatives out, maybe.
Well, I would say, if I had just my, like I told you, many of my critiques come because I always think, and I think this is where we maybe collide a little bit. I feel like you guys look on the micro level and I'm always looking macro. I know these comebacks don't happen in playoffs. I know it. It's just impossible. Year after year, it's impossible to come back at this rate in the playoffs when you're playing quality competition. So when I see that, I'm discouraged because I know it means nothing. It only means that, all right, cool, we're getting these points. So when I get frustrated, it's because of the goal that I have in mind. Yes, if you want me to sell it, we got those points when we were down. Yeah. But I want them to win. And that's what I'm talking about. If I was Devils, I would say my only concern, my first year with the Islanders, I said the fact that we made the playoffs and won a round is huge. That's what I'd be focusing on. Like, this is great. We got up to such a big lead that we can even play 500 hockey in the second half of the season, which there is a chance that that could happen. We don't know how all these players are going to respond. But when we get to the playoffs, let's try to give our team experience of what it's like. And maybe win a series. that's what my you have. It's all about where you're at. We're a team who went to back-to-back conference finals, had an awful year, and are trying to give that team one more chance. They're a team, perennial failures. If we saw our team in the gutter year after year after year, and we got to this start, there's reason to be very excited. But still, what I would say is the only awful part about it is if our season is represented by peaks and valleys, you know for a fact there's not going to be a peak higher than right now, a 13 game winning streak.
And I went back, back in 2019, 2020, the Islanders had that 17 game point streak, 15-0-2. And by the time the season got paused, they had lost those 7 games in a row and they were kind of outside of the playoffs somehow. And actually someone pointed out, they never were in first place in the division during that 17 game point streak. So a lot of season left to play. I have Devil fan friends. I'm excited for them. I think it's great. It's great that building is electric right now. Maybe not as electric as it was on Saturday night for professional wrestling. But it's a fun place to be. And when did Wagon start, by the way? Everything's about the Wagon.
Well, you're saying like the Devils are a wagon right now?
I think if you say wagon to some people, they think you're just like a bandwagon fan, that like you're a fair weather guy just jumping on. But that's what it means, something else. And I don't remember it being used any other circles other than hockey. I don't know when it started. I don't dislike it at all. I don't remember. Yeah, but where did it come from?
It's hockey players, Canada? slash bar stool spitting chiclets. Like Like I played NHL every single year, from 1992, the first one, all the way to I retired in about 2009, 2010, right around that part. No one ever called it Chell. Nobody called it Chell. No one. And I played buckets of NHL. I still call it NHL. But now, so many people call it Chell that the commercial says, either. "Are you playing
just Chell?" Just when you play the game, it's the Chell.
No, not Chell. The Chell. It's called Chell. Now you sound like Bernie Sanders saying, "Oh, the YouTube, check the YouTube."
I got to go back to like Sega Genesis 93, 94. Not the biggest video game guy.
There's hockey. Whatever that was, hockey. The Chell. When I was growing up, they never called hair flowing out the side of your hat and helmet lettuce. That's a great, like they got some good ones.
I feel like I had heard it in the peripheral, and maybe because now it's the metro area team that's the Wagon. It's everywhere right now. And I guess like it starts at like the 9-10 game win streak point, then you become, a Wagon, the Wagon, et cetera. I don't remember the origin of the Wagon.
Yeah, just think about it. I always thought of like a wagon cart, once it gets going on the tracks, it's coming through like that. That's what they mean. It's like a moderation of,
wagons are not necessarily the most like intimidating thing. Like I think like the radio flyer, like it's, you really like dodging a wagon. I mean, Oregon Trail. I don't know.
I'm not thinking. It's funny. I'm not thinking of one of those.
Volkswagen Beetle. There's something more to it. I got to do some research after we hang up here and figure out the origin story here.
Carrying a lot of goods on it. I think that's
like, but the thing is like the idea of like, you want to get onto the wagon, right? That's the bandwagon, but the bandwagon has like a negative connotation. And this has a very positive connotation that your team is just flying right now. Well,
it's
just
that word
killing.
Band. It's the band part of it. That's how you want to get on with the all those extra, people trying to get in together on it. The band.
Yeah.
The wagon part you want to be.
Can podcasts become a wagon? Can we become a wagon?
Well, we better. Hey, listen, I'm gonna have to keep you relatively youthful, okay? We can't be those two old men saying the YouTube and the wagon. So you ask me, and I'll fill you in, okay? Yes, wagon is I'm just trying to think of the older term. Maybe we needed a term to describe somebody. It's like you're a powerhouse, you're hot, and it's like all those rolled into one. It's like you're a powerhouse, a juggernaut. They're a wagon.
No, listen, I could deduce what they were trying to say. Just more of the origin story for me. You know, like the wagon? Why not the caravan, the chariot?
Okay. Here's your Seinfeld. Why is it a wagon?
Why is it the push cart? You know, I mean, maybe the Islanders right now are a push cart. That's
If I was a devil, remember, those are two different teams with two different circumstances. I would imagine these Islander fans have pretty high expectations of a team that they saw almost get to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I we're going longer now than I expected, but like when the Devils like handled, like they weren't even a wagon at this point. They were, I don't know what they were, one of those Trader Joe things that you roll out to the store, right, to bring your groceries home. Cart. When they rolled the Islanders at UBS Arena, I got a text from a friend of mine who's a Devil fan. He goes, "Would you trade the Devils roster for the Islanders roster right now?" And I posted that on Twitter, a question. And everyone pretty much said no because of the goaltending. I just wonder how people would feel about it. The same question was asked now.
Everybody's a prisoner of the moment. That's what I would say.
Like you just said about, pretty special. They got guys coming too. So
let's see.
We could table that. Maybe it's a good. Maybe you can talk about it amongst your Islander family, friends at Thanksgiving and bring that question up. I'll talk St. John's basketball with my father-in-law and see what he thinks about it.
All I have to say is the season's not 20 games long. Like you said, the Islanders had an unbelievable start and then they were out of the playoff race. But listen,
get a loose wheel on that wagon, you know.
Rusty once said in Ocean's 11, in this town, your luck can change that quickly, my friend. And trust me, it absolutely can. So I still have a good disposition. It's pretty interesting that people think, if you think this is my bad disposition, just wait until they actually start mailing it in for 60 minutes and don't get the
result. Well, listen, thank you, Josh Bailey. Thank you, Anthony Beauvillier, for the win, because this could have been a very, very different podcast if the Islanders were lost.
Not for me.
Quietly 2-1. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because you're macro. I'm micro. I would have been all upset. You're macro. So you would have been, All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Andy, happy Thanksgiving to yourself and the Francis clan. We'll do this again next week. All right.
All right. Same to you, my man. Enjoy it with your family. And I want to see those pictures of you waiting at the front door of a club.
There were barely any digital photo, barely digital cameras at that point. I'll see.
I know you got them.
My mom might have developed something.
And I want to see them as your. I want to see them as your default on Twitter too.
All right, well, that'll do it for us here on the Eyes on Isles podcast. For Andy Francis, I am Joe Bono. We will talk to you next week, Islanders country. Good night.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.